Well, here it is, the season preview episode of the Purple Dinosaur Podcast. Baseball returns tomorrow.
Wow.
Hello.
Hi. Hi.
How are all of you?
I mean, I'm okay.
Oh, yeah.
How are you, though, friend? Because you've had a rough week, it sounds like.
Yeah, it's I caught some kind of Ebola, some kind of Marburg virus when I was covering spring training last week in Arizona, and it has waylaid me, I think is the term. And somehow I made it through two broadcasts, one on Saturday and one on Tuesday. But I got to, you know, 80-85%, and then I feel like I've just plateaued since then. It also doesn't help that, like, I don't work any jobs that give me sick days.
Right.
I had a buddy who was like, why don't you just take a sick day? And I was like, you're obviously like, never work in sports ever.
Yeah.
So I haven't been able to, what's the word? Rest. I think I've gotten two full nights of sleep since I got sick on Friday morning. So that's been great. But I'm finally home. I'm home after two straight weeks away. I think I sound relatively normal as we get
mostly,
ready for this show.
Say so.
Tomorrow I don't have anything going on until 11 o'clock when I'm going to do my taxes.
Ooh, yeah.
Very exciting stuff. So I'm going to sleep as late as possible. And then hopefully tomorrow I will be over 90%. We'll put it that way. That's my goal.
That would be ideal.
My goal is to get over 90.
That does not sound like a lot of fun at all.
We'll see. Yeah, wouldn't recommend it. But here we are. Hey, welcome to this week's episode of the Purple Dinosaur Podcast. I'm Tyler Mon.
And I'm Anthony Masterson.
And we are set to go. Baseball season starts tomorrow. We're recording this, quite obviously, on Wednesday night, the 27th of March in the year of our Lord Nolan Arenado 2019. What is strange is a March 28th opening day still seems so weirdly early.
It's pretty early. I was looking at stuff because obviously our show on FS1, MLB Whip Around, check it out. It goes on at...
Whip It Out.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that what it's called?
Yep. Just people just whipping it out.
Yep.
Just...
It's on television.
Just
on
whipping cable. It out on TV, uncensored.
Whip It Out.
Yeah. Find us on the Playboy channel.
on Cinemax later.
Yeah, it is 8 o'clock Pacific time, 11 Eastern. So tune in starting tomorrow. Looking through like this day in histories for the first 2 days of the shows, 28th, 29th of March. And a lot of it's like, this injury happened in spring training. This guy signed a contract. Like, and it's like nothing actually happened in terms of actual games being played on those dates. It's a pretty early opening day.
It's very strange. But bumping up the opening day parameters means like more days off during the season. They've kind of leveled out the season schedule. And so, which is a good thing. But it also brings us baseball earlier. And that I am very good with. So tomorrow, your, my, and our Colorado Rockies start the 162-game marathon that is the Major League Baseball season. They have wrapped up spring training. They've not officially announced a 25-man roster, but it appears as though the 25-man roster is all but set, barring anything really shocking. Thomas Harding had a story a couple of days ago as to what that would probably look like. So we'll run through that. We'll preview a little bit of this Rockies-Marlins series. Talk a little bit about the National League West and where we think things will shake out for this year, and give you our thoughts on we've gone through in seasons past, we picked our division winners and award winners and all that type of stuff, and why not? We'll go through all of it.
Yeah. Let's have some fun.
Oh,
with
we got a bunch of Ask PDPs as well.
Yeah.
So let's get started. Let's roll through the. We're gonna go position by position around the Rockies' 25-man roster.
And the funny thing is that I found out with this roster is that there really was, as you mentioned, no real surprises.
No.
I mean, like, and that was kind of the whole theme of spring training for this team was that there wasn't a lot of news, which is kind of a good thing, I suppose. I mean,
it's very,
you know, at some point,
like,
yeah, you kind of wanted them to either make some noise in the free agent market or make some trades or whatever you wanted them to do, just kind of be in the news. And they really weren't. I mean, they had signed Daniel Murphy way back. And then he came to camp and nothing really happened. And then they had a very average camp. They went 15-15. Like every spring training should be, I think. Every team should be 15-15 in spring training. Who cares? It doesn't matter. But Nobody got hurt in spring training. I can say that now without having to knock on wood. No one really got hurt in spring training that would really derail them. The prospects came up and played pretty well. The guys you wanted to come in and have a nice spring training in order to solidify their spot on the 25-man, like Garrett Hampson, Ryan McMahon, they played really well. Raimel Tapia is going to be there. The pitchers were, you know, fine, whatever. It just seemed to be.
It was a very middle-of-the-road spring training.
Yeah. Which is fine. It was weird. Yeah, because everyone's like, you only did one podcast in March. It's like, yeah, well, there was really nothing to talk about.
Wasn't even going on.
They went in with a great idea of what the 25-man was going to look like. There was maybe 26 or 27 guys they thought could compete for the 25-man roster, and all those guys were pretty much there at the end of it.
Yeah.
It was a very strange and subdued spring training.
Which... that is a sign of continuity. It's a sign of stability. It's a positive sign overall that the Rockies do not go into spring trainings in recent seasons. And, you know, like we talked about last show, there are so many years in franchise history where you go into spring training and it's like, well, 3/5 of the rotation is kind of a question mark. And who's going to play these two spots? And what's the rotation or what's the, you know, the platoon situation going to look like behind the plate? Like, it's not really... Yeah. Seems like they've got pretty much everything figured out. Now, granted, there are obviously some question marks with a couple of spots, but this is a team that seems pretty stable, and that is a very good sign right now.
That's something you've not put in terms of the Colorado Rockies long time. Those two words generally don't fit in the same sentence unless un is put in front of stable.
Yeah. Yeah,
but that's great because this is how the Rockies have really built themselves under Jeff Breidich. It's been all homegrown, draft and development, not a scam. Like they've the last pitcher to start for the Rockies that hasn't spent a number of time in their minor league system in terms of being either drafted, signed, or traded for as a minor leaguer was Tyler Chatwood. That was the last pitcher to do so for the Rockies. It's been a string of homegrown guys who have got the Rockies back into contention on the pitching mound. And also the guys have brought up with the Rockies in terms of the hitters, the Nolan Arenado, Charlie Blackmon, Trevor Story. Those guys are leaders of the team too. It's a very, very odd way to look at this team, but they are the most drafted and developed team in baseball right now.
It's pretty cool. It's a pretty cool thing for the Rockies to be able to hang their hats on. And I know Josh Sushan, our good buddy who's the radio voice of the Albuquerque Isotopes, he tweeted when the Rockies were down in Albuquerque for the exhibition game on Monday, something along the lines of, like, there are so many bromances in this relationship between the Rockies and Isotopes that I couldn't fit them all into one tweet. So here's a picture of Dinger and Orbit together.
And the Rockies and the Topes just extended their contract through, I think, 2022, I think. So
yeah, I had a Rockies official tell me when I was down there last week, described that relationship as "till death do us part," which I thought was kind of cool.
It seems like a really easy
fit.
Yeah,
they've just gotten such a perfect setup there. And I'm kind of interested to know now if the Rockies sort of had an idea, an early indication that Colorado Springs was going to, you know, pull itself out of AAA and all the machinations that went along with that. And that's why they decided to get out. But they were in a bad situation in that ballpark anyway. As a AAA, that's not a AAA facility. And the Rockies were there for so long. And really, when that Albuquerque thing came up, that we talked about that when it happened as being one of the first really, really great moves in a chapter of moves in which you could tell the Rockies have started broadening their horizons to let's be this whole region's team, you know. And I think
they got Boise, they got Albuquerque.
So let's get started. Let's talk about this team. Right out of the gate, of course, is the one position that you're not going to be that thrilled about. I have given up hope. I used to have hope in certain things in life. I no longer have hope in anything. But the thing that I supremely lack hope in is that the Colorado Rockies will ever be able to develop a catcher who will be above average.
Yeah, it's it's been ever.
Yeah,
basically.
I mean, has it ever happened? I have a group text with two of my buddies from college who are really big baseball fans, and my friend Ryan, who was the guy who got me sick last week, he came out to Arizona and we were hanging out in the same Airbnb, and he caught Ebola first, and then I got it from him. He was like, "What is the deal with this Rockies catching situation? They signed Drew Butera," and I was like, "Yeah." I mean, when you look throughout franchise history, it's not as though they've ever had any good catchers ever play.
At all.
And like, he was like, yeah, I really can't even think of like who the most notable catcher in Rocky's history is. And that is
Chris Iannetta.
True.
I mean, Iannetta, but that's kind of by default at this point.
Like Jorvit Torrealba?
Yeah.
There are not many. Not many. So not great, Bob, as they say. But Tony Wolters and Chris Iannetta are back. My hope is that somehow Tony Wolters is able to turn himself into a guy who hits even 240. I mean,
if he can hit his weight, that'd be
Tony
awesome.
Tony Wolters, yeah. And, you know, I don't think he even his weight's only 197. So
again, that'd be 20 points higher than he hit all last year.
Yeah. You know, his rookie season, he actually was not a bad defensive player. He hit 259, he OPS 723. Like, you'd handle that. But then he hit 240 with a 625 OPS in 2017. Last year, he hit 170 with a 577 OPS. And
he had one pretty big hit, though.
Yeah, he did. He did. You know,
and wild card game.
That's baseball. That's baseball, folks. And
he's not there to hit, though. He's there to frame pitches.
And that's fine. And that's good. But yeah, you'd love something. You love something out of it.
Literally almost anything. I don't know. Like,
you'd really love to get something. So, you know, that's the catching situation, I guess.
Anyway, moving on.
Moving on from that.
That's really all I can say about that.
Chris,
you can
say, yeah, last year, Tony Wolters was awful defensively, and Chris Iannetta was so bad defensively, do you think, like, oh, man, who could make that look worse? Well, Tony Wolters somehow made it look good. Chris Iannetta hit 224 with a 730 OPS. That was like Babe Ruth compared to Tony Wolters last year. So, yeah, we're not going to talk a whole lot about the catchers. But the good news is, you know, you got an above-average framing guy in Tony Wolters behind the plate. Chris Iannetta is at least steady. We know that. So, you know, you're not counting on them for a lot, but if they are not going to produce a lot offensively, you need to get production in areas where you didn't get last year. And that brings us to first base.
Wow.
The Rockies did announce on Tuesday that Mark Reynolds has made the opening day roster. His spring training performance did not necessarily suggest that was going to be the case, but Mark Reynolds will be there on opening day. Daniel Murphy is the evidently starting first baseman for this Rockies team.
Figured.
You know, as we have said, he makes them a better baseball team.
Taste the rainbow, man.
Taste the rainbow.
That's going to be the best thing. Whenever he hits a home run this year, one, we have a number of people on Rocky's Twitter who have committed to donating money to LGBTQ plus causes when Daniel Murphy hits a home run this year, which is great. If you don't know, Daniel Murphy made some disparaging remarks about homosexuals a few years back, didn't really renege on it at all, kind of just said that, yeah, that's kind of how I feel. And you're like, okay, cool, good, yeah. See you later. So we have a lot of great people who are doing that online this year. That's great to see. My favorite thing is going to be whenever he hits a home run this year, we can all tweet, taste the rainbow.
Yeah, that's a John Reedy creation, and I'm very for
it. I'm very much onto that.
Yeah. But, you know, he hits. I actually had a buddy text me the other day and say, am I crazy to think that Daniel Murphy wins a batting title as a Rocky? And I was like, no, I don't think so.
If he plays 150 games,
he's got in the exact mold of Justin Morneau or a Michael Kadire or somebody who comes over here and just, you know, gets a 25-point boost in batting average and wins a batting title. Last year, combined between the Nationals and the Cubs, he slashed 299, 336, 454 for a 790 OPS, hit 12 homers. That was just, you know, an injury-hampered season. But prior to that, he had played 142 or more games in five of the six seasons before last year. And in the one in which he didn't, he still played 130 games. So he had been relatively reliable and healthy. Last season was not the case. You know, as a baseball player, he makes them better.
Yeah, sure does. Hit a nice home run yesterday against Michael Pineda.
So that's
hit a long ding dong.
Second base, an area that we have been most excited about. Yes, DJ LeMahieu was gone. Fan favorite, a dude who we, you know, liked, obviously. But we have long said DJ LeMahieu is not going to be the most difficult dude in the world to replace.
Right.
And I think the Rockies have two exceedingly good options to do that. Ryan McMahon was amazing this spring training, and Garrett Hampson was right behind him. And those two guys who can move around, their versatility is really good. McMahon can play both corner spots as well as playing second base. Hampson can play short. He can play third. He can go to the outfield. They give you a lot of options, and I really, really like that both those guys are on this roster. I don't think we were that worried that they were that one of them was not going to be, but I like that there is not a whole lot of conversation as to, well, you know, if they can't get the job done, then there's a
Pat Palaika sitting there in the AAA.
Right. So I think that's very positive that those two right now are your second baseman in some combination.
Yeah, McMahon won the Abby Greer Award for the best Rocky spring training. Player hit .424, three bombs, 14 ribbies in 24 games. Garrett Hampson, to his own credit, .279 hitter with four home runs. He had seven stolen bases as well this spring. So they each bring a different dynamic to it. McMahon's got the more the power stroke. He's less polished of a fielder at second base than Garrett Hampson would be. Hampson has a great glove, can play second, third, short. Now he's learning the outfield too. He showed some pretty good throws yesterday when I saw him play in the outfield against the Twins in an exhibition game. Hampson is a great bat to ball guy. You're going to say, like, you're going to hear a lot of broadcasts say that he does all the little things well. Because he's a Long Beach State player, and Long Beach State under Troy Buckley, they lead the nation in bunts every year. So Garrett Hampson is very, very good with the bat. He can bunt it better than like most people can in baseball, which is a dying thing. I understand that, but like he can bunt for a base hit better than anybody that I've ever seen. And I covered him when I was covering Long Beach State baseball.
What about Willie Tavares?
Willie Tavares was obviously one of the best at doing that as well. But I think he is in the same vein as Willie Tavares. He is that good. He's not as fast, but he is that good with the bat. So, but he's hit pretty much every at every level the exact same, about .280 with about an .850 OPS every single level. He is as consistent as they come. So having him on the big league roster does a lot of things for this team, and we're going to be better off to see Garrett Hampson play. I tweeted out the other day that all I've wanted since the Rockies signed Garrett Hampson is to see him get a real shot at the major league level, because I know he can play. I've seen him play since he was in college. Like, I just want him to get 500 at-bats this season without having to resort to monkey's paws. You know, like,
yeah.
It's like, oh, I want Garrett Hampson to get 500 at-bats. Monkey's paw closes, and then Nolan Arenado gets hurt. You know, like, that's how that works.
Yeah.
So I want to see him happen without that. But I also want to see Ryan McMahon do the same. So
right. Yeah, that's the problem. Is it's like, yeah. I would be excited for one of these guys getting the second base job. I think the Rockies would be best served with a lineup that features Ryan McMahon at second base and Garrett Hampson in center field.
Sure.
But we'll discuss why that is not the case here in a little bit. They're both on the roster. That's a positive step.
Yes.
At shortstop and third base, the Rockies are pretty well set. In All-Stars, Trevor Story and Nolan Arenado. You know, I think those guys are your clear-cut starters.
I don't know.
I think you could probably pencil them in.
Pat Palaika had a pretty nice spring.
Brendan Rodgers, I will be interested to see if he starts hot with Albuquerque and somebody else scuffles. If it's McMahon or Hampson or somebody, I wonder how quickly a door could open for him. There's a lot that needs to go right in order for him to be on the major league roster in short order. But the Rockies can afford to be patient with him. He's, you know, 21, yeah. 22 years old, whatever it is. So that's a good thing as well.
Yeah. And they have the depth, they have time on their side. You know, there's a saying that depth is only as good until you need to use it, but I think they're fine for right now with where they have. They can start him at AAA and go from there. I think it's a good sign.
Right. The outfield in left, David Dahl. We have an Ask PDP coming up about David Dahl later today. And, you know, I am very excited to see what a healthy David Dahl does with a full season. We have said that, unfortunately, it seems like every year. But David Dahl is a very, very good player. And if he is able to stay healthy for the entirety of a season, he could be an exceedingly good player. We have only seen David Dahl play 140 major league games. He made his major league debut in 2016, Missed all of 2017 with the stress reaction, whatever it was. Is that my dog barking?
It might be. It's not mine. Mine's sleeping next to me here and running after something.
Huh. Mine is snoring and barking. That's adorable. She barks sometimes in her sleep, and it's cute.
So does Zoe. Yeah.
Other times it's like, what are you dreaming about? Should I wake you up? And I know you're not supposed to wake them up, but like, I don't want her to be scared.
Yeah. It's literally let sleeping dogs lie.
Yeah.
Tyler.
Right. But it is kind of crazy to think about the fact that we have not even seen a full season's games worth of work from
it's
David Dahl
crazy.
Over three
yeah.
years. So hopefully this is the year. Hopefully we see him play at least those 140 games. I think that would be a fantastic sign for the Rockies. David Dahl, as a professional, is a .293, .341, .518 hitter in those 140 games. His 162 game averages, or projections, according to Baseball Reference, that's the slash line. He would be projected at 27 homers and drive in 83.
Well, you'd be thrilled if that was the case.
Yeah, yeah. Like David Dahl. David Dahl is a really damn good player. The other corner spot, Charlie Blackmon. We've been saying for several years that Charlie Blackmon is a corner outfielder masquerading as a center fielder. He is now a corner outfielder, period. And that
right.
is a very good sign for the Rockies, because I think Blackmon now can start focusing on being an offense-first kind of guy, which he is anyway. But when you play center field at Coors Field, you kind of have to keep up the appearances of, you know, you got a lot of ground to cover. You got to be able to play a competent center in the largest center field in baseball. He doesn't have to worry about that anymore. And that's not to say like, oh, well, you know, now he's in right field. He's not going to have to run at all. But you can be somebody who has an offensive mindset, I think, more than maybe what it's been the last few years for Charlie
yeah.
Blackmon. And I think the Rockies are a better team moving him out of center field from a defensive point of view as well.
Yeah, and getting him healthy too. I mean, we talked ad nauseum about last year where he got hurt early in the season, sapped a lot of his legs, his quad.
Right.
You know, couldn't get his speed going, couldn't get his lower half involved in his swing. He's healthy this year. That's going to be the biggest thing for him is health.
Right. And then there is center field. And I will quote from our good buddy Thomas Harding at MLB.com. Is a strong spring a sign that Desmond, comma, a leader in the intangibles, comma.
Oh, yeah. Give,
can
yeah.
give offense
give
that matches
that.
The dollars on his hefty contract.
Give me that. Absolutely.
Ian Desmond is the starting center fielder for your, my, and our Colorado Rockies as we enter this 2019 season. He will be joined in center field by Raimel Tapia. Ian Desmond was, you know, he did have a good spring, and I guess that's something.
Yeah, and to be fair, the last two springs, he's been pretty poor. The last time he had a really good spring was 2016 in Texas. He had .326 with a .900 OPS.
Yeah.
He was an all-star that year. This year, he had .341 with an OPS over 1100 or nearly 1100.
God, last year
spring stats mean absolutely nothing, but
yeah.
just literally saying the last yeah. time he had a decent spring was a good sign.
Man, his spring last year, he hit .200 with a .571 OPS,
which again means nothing. But he also struck out 19 times and walked once.
Right, right.
last
yeah.
year, this
yeah,
spring he had 9 walks compared to 8 strikeouts. That's something.
Not great. You know what's so funny too is like. 2 years ago, we complained about Ian Desmond nonstop. He hit .274. Last year, he hit .236. And somehow his OPS was 28 points higher because he slugged so much better last year, hitting 21 homer, or check that, hitting 22 homers last season versus 7 the year before. But like, it's so funny to think about, like, oh man, we were so down on Ian Desmond in 2017. And then he was like markedly worse last year. In a lot of ways.
Yeah.
So,
no, he really was. He
yeah.
really was.
Well, I don't know. The last good season that Ian Desmond had was 2016 with the Rangers. As you noted, he had .285 with a .782 OPS that year. He was playing the outfield that year, so maybe there is something that goes along with that, a position change. He's not asked to continue holding down first base, a place where he was not good. And, you know, the Rockies, for so long, our thought process was the Rockies are keeping the seat warm for Ryan McMahon to take that first base job. And then they signed Daniel Murphy. And it seemed like, okay, well, does that mean Ian Desmond is, what is he now? Is he your utility guy? And then they put him in a starting outfield spot. So it's like they're still just trying to figure out ways to shoehorn him into this lineup. I don't know. I don't know if at some point we just give up hope that, you know what, I'm not even going to have that conversation yet. Let's get into the season. Hopefully Ian Desmond is good to start the year. And then we won't have to have the conversation of like, well, how long do you keep running him out there?
Yeah, because right now, Raimel Tapia is the current option to replace him in center field. And we've mentioned that Tapia is out of option, so he's got to perform at some point or not, or he'll be somewhere else. So would they go with Raimel initially? Would they go with Garrett Hampson in center field if he does struggle? Who knows? Probably not anything, because they're still paying Desmond a hefty sum. And so they're going to need to have him put up another 619 plate appearances like he did last year, more than likely, if he stays healthy. So, yeah, I think we're just kind of stuck with that one there.
Yeah.
But, hey, you know, another could be Mike Tauchman.
Desmond, very
you know, if they didn't get rid of Mike Tauchman, they would have easily won the NOS, according to some people with a lot of consonants in their name.
That was the weirdest thing. Like, the weirdest thing. I didn't even like. I just followed everybody on Twitter making fun of that dude. But he was really that fired up about them trading Mike.
There was just like a lot of tweets about Mike Tauchman, and it was like, I love the Rockies. I don't like Mike Tauchman that much, and that's no knock on Mike Tauchman.
What a
just
strange
you know,
guy. But like Mike Tauchman's,
he's like the sixth
outfielder,
man. Like I don't know, like you know, like it's really hard to get really passionate about the sixth outfielder in any team.
Yeah. Mike Tauchman also made it up to the major leagues last year. He got 37 plate appearances and threw out 3 hits. Yeah. Mike Tauchman is 9-for-59 in his major league career.
Yeah, speedy leg boy. Yeah.
You know. So, yeah, I'm not too heartbroken about that.
It's the real Kevin Padlow treatment right now for Mike Tauchman.
Oh, yeah, that is true. Kevin Padlow, can't count him out.
Don't count them out.
So let's move to the pitching staff. The starting rotation, which we knew 4 participants of coming into this year, and we had a pretty solid idea that Chad Bettis would be the 5th. Kyle Freeland will get the opening day start coming up tomorrow in Miami. That will be Erman Marquez on Friday. Tyler Anderson will follow. John Gray and Chad Bettis. Those are the 5. That's the best starting rotation in franchise history.
Yeah, I think by far, yeah.
Best opening day rotation they've ever had.
Considering the guys that are coming back with the past performance, yeah, I think there's no doubt in my mind that's the best starting 5.
Yeah. Bullpen, you know, it's largely what we saw last year with the exception of no more Adam. I have a conspiracy theory that I put out on the tweets yesterday. And the more I have thought about it, the more I am positive that it is – not just
more
than
it definitely happened,
but it is
the ironclad
truth. Yes. Adam Ottavino was the star, I guess we'll say, of a commercial for the New York Yankees, in which he is basically recanting his claim that he could strike out Babe Ruth. Adam Ottavino in an interview with, I think it was Fangraphs, talked about, or maybe it was ESPN, talked about how he would, no, it was MLB Network is who it was, said he would be able to strike out Babe Ruth every time he faced him.
Which is true.
That is true.
It's absolutely true.
Babe Ruth
never saw anything even remotely close to something that Adam Ottavino could throw.
No, and that's not to say that Babe Ruth, I think if you took Babe Ruth and you put him through a 2019 professional baseball player's life and training regimen, Babe Ruth would probably be a great hitter.
Sure.
But the Babe Ruth of the 1920s and 30s never saw dudes throwing 99, never saw dudes with the movement of Adam Ottavino's stuff, never, none of it, none of it.
Oh.
Adam Ottavino would dominate Babe Ruth. And this is it's a fact. But the Yankees put out a commercial in which Adam Ottavino basically had to act like he was giving up ding dongs to Babe Ruth.
He was back in like the 1920s. Like it was like an old timey baseball.
I was like, oh, what a nightmare. And to me, I feel like that was a clause in his contract. The Yankees are like, we can sign you, but you have to publicly renounce your stance that you would strike out Babe Ruth.
Which is a very, very like petty and insecure thing the Yankees would definitely do.
Yeah. 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 So it's we need to save him is what I'm saying. We need to organize a group and fly to New York and kidnap Adam. This is just all – yes, maybe he's happy being in his hometown playing for his childhood team.
Yeah, but whatever.
Him. Our like, happiness is more important.
Yeah, but we need him, you know.
Exactly. So anyway, Adam Ottavino, not a member of this roster, but the bullpen, you know, other than that, pretty much the exact same. Wade Davis will close. Scott Oberg shoving triple digits and being a good pitcher like he was last year. And
yeah, something.
He's back there. Sung-Hwan Oh, the final boss, is another setup option for the Rockies. Mike Dunn appears to be on a much healthier footing this year.
He had a very nice spring. Yeah, 11 strikeouts, 0 walks, did not allow an earned run in 9 appearances.
Very good.
That's a very good sign.
Brian Shaw is still under contract.
You're stuck with Brian Shaw no matter what, so you better hope that he just figures it out. You know?
Jake McGee as well.
Again, under contract, better hope he figures it out. He's been good every other year.
Right.
And since he was bad last year, you got to hope this year is the good year. Yeah.
And then DJ Johnson and Harrison Musgrave. I won't say the bullpen is a strength, but I'm happy with it.
DJ Johnson had a nice spring as well. Those guys needed to come in and show that they could compete and get outs when needed, and they came in and did that. So, again, it's weird to be talking about this Rockies roster because like, we kind of knew what the roster was like a long, long time ago, and nothing really changed from that at all.
Weird.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
Like usually we have so many things to talk about and discuss and what are they doing here? They have no idea, blah blah blah. No, like it's as stable a start to a season as the Rockies have ever had.
Yeah.
And
which is
and
so
it's not even like obviously there's a lot of expectations this year, even though nobody's picking the Rockies to win anything this year, oddly enough. There's still expectations. They made the playoffs 2 years in a row. The Dodgers seem to be vulnerable, if nothing else.
Yeah.
The door's open for the Rockies right now. And to come in and not have a lot of issues with pretty much anything and just kind of just go about your business, maintain the status quo during spring training. Okay. Like, you don't want drama right now.
Weird.
Yeah, because
you're used to this. We're used to recording season preview shows and yelling and talking about problems and all this stuff. And it's like, no, they got to.
But like, no matter, like the Rockies have made the playoffs back to back years and they're still flying under the radar.
Yeah. Yeah. They're still
with a great team.
Like, they were picked to finish in the MLB Network preview show that I watched today. They did 1,000 simulations of the 2019 season via Out of the Park Baseball on the old compute machines. And the Arizona Diamondbacks were picked to finish second in the National League West.
Have you seen their roster?
Yeah. Like what? Who? In what way do the Arizona, even the dudes who like were supposed to be good, who are no longer, who weren't good, aren't there anymore. Like Shelby Miller's gone. Patrick Corbin, who was good, is gone. Paul Goldschmidt's gone. AJ Pollock's gone. Like, what on that team? Huh?
And then Steven Souza got hurt out for the year,
yeah,
you know?
That I feel genuinely awful for Steven Souza because that injury, they tweeted out all the ligaments that he tore, like, every single thing you could possibly.
It was ligaments I didn't even know existed, like a ZCL. I don't know what that was. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Like I saw Sports Illustrated pick the Padres to finish above the Rockies. I'm like,
But I will say there are a lot of observers of
Robbie Erlin going to lead that team back to the promised land. Like always.
Hey, I used to ride on a bus with him.
Everyone's all up on the Padres right now because they got Machado. Obviously,
the Padres are not going to be a good team this year.
No, they're going to keep Tatis up, which is cool. That's great. They should be doing that. They're built to win now. They shouldn't worry about 4 years from now. That's fine. But have you seen their pitching staff? It's garbage.
Yeah,
absolute garbage. Yeah. Chris Paddock is the only guy there with real upside because
he's
an unknown. He's
Double A.
He's had great minor league numbers, never pitched above Double A, but great minor league numbers. He made the starting rotation, but like your starting rotation is still Joey Lucchese and Eric Lauer and all these guys who just
Matt Strom.
Yeah, like, just Nix. They don't do anything for anybody.
Brett Kennedy.
Yeah, like Brian Mitchell, like cool, like, you know, like, yeah. Like that's going to be the team that's going to lead you to the playoffs this in the first year of Manny Machado. And Manny Machado, I think, is going to have like this incredible season in San Diego, a park that suppresses offense like no other. He's going to go in there and hit 40 and drive in 130. Like, no, that's absolutely not going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. I don't get it. It's just standard garden variety flyover country.
Well, projection systems have never figured out the Rockies.
Yeah, but projection systems should not be that way and are still that way.
Well, they haven't figured out the Rockies pitching. They always, you know, the Rockies pitching always ends up being worse than it is most of the time. Like someone like Kyle Freeland's getting projected to get like a average, like a 4.15 ERA this year, let's just say. And last year he put up a 2.8. You know, that's they don't believe in any Rockies pitcher ever, basically. That's pretty much what it comes down to.
Of course. So no one thinks the Rockies are going to do well. But that is not true. Today I was watching on that same MLB Network preview show, actually, both Harold Reynolds and whatever. But Harold Reynolds and Ron Darling both picked the Rockies to win the division. And the thought process is exactly what I've been saying for the last few weeks, which is that the Dodgers are so full of question marks. And somehow nobody nationally seems to be focusing on that. But Clayton Kershaw is not healthy to start the season. They're getting, you know, yeah, you're getting Corey Seager back. Obviously, that's going to be a huge addition. But, like, the rest of that pitching staff, Rich Hill doesn't appear to be fully good Rich Hill as of right now. Hyunjin Ryu, massive injury issues over the last few seasons. I mean, Walker Buehler is going to be very good. Julio Urias has a chance to be very good. But there's a lot of question marks just on the pitching staff alone. Then position player-wise, like, I know he was great last year, but I still believe, like, Max Muncy should just be a dude. Max Muncy did not make a major league impact of any kind until he was 27 years old. Last year, he goes out and he hits 263, 391, 582. That's after his first couple of seasons in the big leagues. He played 45 games for the A's in 2015 and OPS 660, 51 games for the A's in 2016 and OPS 565. He hit 5 combined home runs in 96 games between 2015 and 2016. He hit 35 home runs last year. Like, I think this season, there's a lot that suggests somebody like Max Muncy comes down to earth. Because especially with the way teams get data on you and they've got their advanced reports and they know the things that they can attack, I just don't see a way Muncy comes back and OPS is 975.
Well, and their Dodgers will always get a bump from stat people.
Right.
Because they're full of stat people.
And they've won so, 6 straight division titles. Like, yes, no, you have to knock them out eventually.
They're always going to get a bump from, like, your beyond the box scores, your Brian Kennys, your whatever. You're always going to get that bump from those people because they think, they're just smarter than everybody else. They're going to figure it out. No matter what their deficiencies, they'll figure it out. And to be fair, that's what's happened. But
there was that beyond the box score column the other day. The Dodgers have already won the National League West.
Oh, get out of here, dude. Fuck out of here.
What? What? That's a team that needed 163 games to hold off the Rockies last year and got worse over the offseason. Like, I don't see how anybody, and we've had this conversation 3 episodes in a row now, but I don't see how anybody looks at the Dodgers coming into 2019 and thinks that's a better team than what they left 2018 with.
Yeah.
They got their head smashed into the World Series. They've lost 2 straight World Series. They traded away Yasiel Puig. And yes, I know he had a very star-crossed tenure in L.A., but that's a very dynamic and good player. Traded away Matt Kemp, who looked like an all-world.
He was an all-star
last
year. Yeah, was an all-star.
So, like, how you can look at that team and think that's a better team going into 2019 than it was in 2018, I don't know. I don't know, man. But
they'll figure it out. They have all this data, and they're
the Dodgers, and
they don't let, like, is Dave Roberts a good manager? I have no idea, because he's not allowed to do anything. Is he a great manager of egos? Yes, absolutely. Because otherwise, like, he doesn't make the lineup. He's allowed to make, like, in-game decisions. That all comes from above. you know, it's he's the one who has to tell, you know, Matt Kemp that it's okay that he's not playing after getting, you know, back-to-back walk-off hits because, you know, the spreadsheet says that he shouldn't. So he's a good massager of egos. Good for him. Is he a good manager? Who knows?
He went to ego massage school.
Yeah.
What?
No, but that's the thing with the Dodgers. Like, that's the reason they've lost the last two World Series. Because they've been too strict and strident with their analytics. They haven't let their manager make any kind of decision for themselves. And that's how A.J. Hinch and Alex Cora managed circles around Dave Roberts in the World Series the last 2 years.
You just hate to see it.
I don't.
You just hate to see it. So in the National League West, here's how we're going. I am going division champion Colorado Rockies.
First time ever. Would be.
Wild card finishing Los Angeles Dodgers.
Okay. Sure.
Then I'll go the San Diego Padres in third place. I think the Padres will have a, you know, 78-ish win season. That's a 10-win improvement over where they were last year, so that's pretty impressive stuff. Then the Arizona Diamondbacks, then the San Francisco Giants.
Yeah, I think the Giants are going to be terrible this year.
Yeah. I hate to see it.
I'm good with it, actually. Yeah, I think the D-backs could finish ahead of the Padres this year, personally. I think there's enough talent
there
that their pitching staff is still pretty decent. They're, you know, Zach Greinke, Zach Godley, and Robbie Ray are a decent 1-2-3. They'll get Taijuan Walker back at some point. If Luke Weaver has anything in the tank from the change of scenery, if Merrill Kelly is this year's Miles Michaelis, who knows? Like, their lineup is going to hit for the most part. Sorry, that was a weird burp.
You just know they're gonna hit.
But they had the deal with the Humidor last year too. Their home OPS was one of the worst they've ever had after getting the Humidor. So, you know, I know they lost Paul Goldschmidt. They lost AJ Pollock. You know, David Peralta. If you believe in him to lead that team, Jake Lamb was hurt all last year. I think they'll finish better than the Padres personally. But yeah, I think I'm okay enough in my picks that I can pick the Rockies to win the division. And that's not just purple colored glasses. I really do think that I think they have the real opportunity this year, and it's not going to be a disappointment if they don't, but I think the opportunity is there more than any other time in this team's history.
Yeah. I remember last year saying in innumerable radio interviews, you know, the Dodgers are down and Clayton Kershaw and blah, blah, blah. If the Rockies are ever going to win a division, this has to be the year where they do it. And now I think this year is just as well positioned. And it's March 27th, and, you know, maybe things look entirely different by the time we hit the midway point of the season. But going into a season, I feel much more confident this year, the night before opening day, that the Rockies could win a division title this year than I felt the night before opening day last year.
Yeah.
I think the night before opening day last year, I thought, well, Dodgers are still pretty scary.
Like, well, maybe they get the wild card again. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I'm going.
Yeah,
so you're going Rockies, Dodgers, D-backs, Padres, Giants.
Yes.
And I think the D-backs and Padres.
I think the rest of the National League, I think the Cardinals are going to be very, very good this year. I think they're going to be back to where they were, which sucks because the Cardinals are supremely annoying.
You know what annoys me about that?
Go on.
About the Cardinals?
Yeah, no, I'm here. Yeah.
So Miles Michaelis.
Yes.
Was a seventh round draft selection of the San Diego Padres in 2009, and was bad. Miles Michaelis made the major leagues in 2012, pitched part of 2012 and 2013 with the Padres. 2014, he made 10 appearances with the Texas Rangers. 6.44 ERA, gone, dunzo, banished to the Yomiuri Giants of Nippon Professional Baseball in Japan. The Cardinals follow him, pick him up, bring him back. He goes 18-4 with a 2.83 ERA last year. 146 strikeouts, 29 walks, and 202/3 innings. A whip of 1.01. Like, that's not fair. Well, again, you don't get to just go sign dudes out of Japan and have them be good. You're the Cardinals.
I mean, that's what it is, though. Like, it's, you know, development is not linear, ever. Never, ever linear.
Exactly.
So, and that's why I'm saying if Merrill Kelly, who has a similar story to Miles Michaelis for the Diamondbacks, if he turns into Michaelis, then, you know, that could be a big boost for the D-backs. So I think the Cardinals are going to be back this year. I think their lineup is very, very good. The rotation is solid as well. If their bullpen can figure themselves out with Andrew Miller now, and Jordan Hicks takes the next step, then yeah, they could be very good. I think they'll win the Central this year. Yeah, the Brewers are still poised to be there. I'd still hate their rotation. But their bullpen's really good. Even with Corey Knable out, I'm sure they'll do something else because, you know, we've seen the Brewers with that front office, their GM and their owner, they're fans of the team. And so when they see an opportunity, they're going to jump on it. Money be damned, which is pretty cool if you're a Brewers fan. So like, you know, if Craig Kimbrell's out there, they want to see if they can nab him. Yeah, maybe they will. So I think they're going to take one of the wild card. The wild cards are tough because in the East too. I mean, the East, it's, you know, the East would already be the best division in the entire National League.
This could be the first time in a while that the National League West does not get a wild card.
Yeah, that's also true.
I mean, could really believe that this year. I think this may be the season that the NL West is a one bid division.
I've really been waffling back and forth about the wild card because it's between the, let's see, Phillies, Nats, Braves, let's say, even the Mets if everything goes well. Brewers and Dodgers, Rockies, you know, like what, you know, of all those teams, there's so many teams that should be good and should be vying for the wild card this year. So it's really hard to say. In the East, like, I think the Nats are going to win the NL East this year. So I think I think the Phillies did a lot. I think the Phillies can be very good. I think the Nationals overall are still a better 25-man roster than the Phillies. I think the Nats have a better bullpen. They have a better starting rotation. I think the lineup can be a push. The Phillies maybe have the edge there a little bit. But I think the Nationals can replace Bryce Harper's production if Victor Robles becomes that guy that he was supposed to be when he was a top-five prospect a couple years ago before he got hurt. Had a nice cup of coffee last year. If he becomes that guy and Juan Soto avoids a sophomore slump, I think they're going to be dangerous, like very, very dangerous.
And Victor Robles made the opening day roster. They announced that today. He was kind of supposed to be Juan Soto before Juan Soto.
Right. Well, Juan Soto came out of nowhere.
Last year got hurt. Yeah, Juan Soto was a prospect, and they liked him, but everybody was higher on Victor Robles, and then Juan Soto goes and blows up, and now they're getting Robles up there as a major league regular. So yeah, the Nationals could be very good. And that division is so – well, I didn't – did we wrap up the Central?
You didn't say your pick. Okay. I moved on. That's my fault. That's good podcasting.
Nah, you know. It's nobody's listening anyway. I think the Brewers are going to win it. Just getting a sense being around that team a little bit this spring – there's something about the Brewers that feels like when they get Keston Hira up there, their top prospect, the way that they were unorthodoxically, is that a word? The things they did with their bullpen last year. I like their style. I like what Craig Counsell does. I think they are a team that is going to be better able to adapt to what it needs to do to win a division title.
Yeah, that's true. That's what they showed. Like I said, their owners, their ownership group are fans. They're not just the owners. Like you know, they don't have a big payroll, but when they have an opportunity to win, that window is open, they will sign anybody they can to make sure that they can continue on from where they were. And they went to Game 7 of the LCS last year, so.
But yeah, I do think that a wild card will come out of that division. The Cardinals are probably going to get it. I think that there is a chance that you could see the Cubs in that mix. I think there's a chance you could see the Cubs finish last place in that division.
No one's talking about the Cubs really in that regard because they didn't really do anything this offseason. I mean, their biggest signing was Daniel Descalso. But you can also say that because their roster is kind of set already. They didn't really need anybody else. Most of the guys are still under 30 in that lineup. Their pitching staff is what it is. It's older, but it's still pretty good. The top four of Lester, Quintana, Hamels, and Hendricks, that's all right. Yeah. And they got Yu Darvish there, who was supposed to be the number two and is awful. So
yeah, he has not been good.
Tyler Chatwood, though.
Tyler Chatwood for $40 million, whatever it is. I just... Seeing them finish last place in the division would bring me so much joy.
It'd be awesome.
I wish that the Pittsburgh Pirates, I wish that ownership group gave a shit. I wish they would try. Because there is still nothing like that atmosphere of when the Pirates hosted the Reds for that first ever National League wildcard game. That was amazing. Yeah. And everybody's wearing black and going nuts. And, you know, they're chanting Johnny Cueto's name so loud that he dropped the ball on the mound like that.
Yeah.
The atmosphere of that, Pittsburgh could be such a good baseball town. Pittsburgh right now is what Denver was maybe mid-2000s, 2004, 2005-ish, when people stopped caring about the Rockies for the first time, and the Broncos were still good, except the Pirates have shown that they don't have an ownership group that's willing to continually try to reinvest resources to make them good. The Rockies have. The Rockies made a World Series. They made another playoff appearance 2 years later. They went through a dry spell. Now they've got back-to-back playoff appearances. Like, they'll go through windows. With the Pirates, it's just like, well, we caught lightning in a bottle at one point. That was nice. Guess we'll ride the TV money now.
Yep, that's pretty much what they're doing. And they got the fewest people to games in Pittsburgh last year since the Denny Nagel teams in the 90s.
Yeah, there was a really good story that I think we talked about last week that I believe it was RJ Anderson had about how right now they are baseball's cautionary tale of what happens when an ownership group refuses to spend and fans start giving up. Because, you know, that was the longest postseason drought in American professional sports before the Pirates won that wild card berth. And when they finally started making it back in, you could see just how hungry that city was to get behind baseball again. And then, like, that window closed so quickly, and now it's just back to, well, they got a nice ballpark.
Yeah.
And that sucks.
They do have a nice ballpark.
They do. They have a great ballpark. So all right, I'll go Brewers in the Central with the Cardinals winning a wild card. And then in the East, you got the Nationals.
I do.
I don't think it's going to be the Phillies. You know what? I'm going to make this my crazy division. I'm going to say the Nationals win the division. I'm going to take the Mets to win a wild card.
Yeah, I mean,
that rotation is still just like, you throw out Noah Syndergaard and Jacob DeGrom, those two alone.
Yeah.
That's like,
and
that's
also, terrifying. And Zach Wheeler was this like one of the best pitchers in baseball in the second half last year.
Yeah. Zach Wheeler, who we constantly advocated trading for the Rockies because was so good and had like 19 Tommy John surgeries. And we're like, well, at some point he's going to come back and be good. And then he did.
And he was last year.
But like that team, I don't know, man. I don't see how you can continually throw out perennial Cy Young candidates and not have they're going to compete for a postseason.
And a really good bullpen with Edwin Diaz and Jerry Sevilla, Justin Wilson,
Lugo.
Yeah. And then
Robert Gesellman.
Yeah, and then the lineup, you know, it's if you're led by guys like Brandon Nimmo and Michael Conforto, Jeff McNeil is really good last year guy. I covered Long Beach State as well.
What's the deal with Yoenis Cespedes?
Supposed to be back midseason. Who knows?
Okay. Interesting. Yoenis Cespedes is still only like 32, 33 years
old. Yeah, he's still younger than us for sure.
Which is kind of crazy. But they've also got some interesting pieces. Pete
Alonso.
He said he would like to go by Pete. Pete Alonso has made the opening day roster. They said that. He's one of the best first base prospects in baseball. Ahmed Rosario, their shortstop prospect from a few years ago who finally graduated and has made it in the major leagues. He still, I think, is only 23. Last year wasn't a great offensive player, but I feel like he's going to continue getting more comfortable now that he's in his second full pro season to be a better player. They have Robinson Cano now at second base. I feel like that probably helps a guy like Rosario when you have a double play partner who's a guy who, you know, has been around every conceivable circumstance in a baseball game. He's seen everything that can happen on a field and has been one of the most successful guys at his position for the last 10-15 years. I don't know. I just feel like that team, you can't continually throw out Jacob DeGrom and Noah Syndergaard for two out of every 5 days and not be a team competing for a playoff
spot. Yeah, but it's still the Mets, you know?
Yeah, I didn't say they were going to win anything.
That's all you have to go with is it's still the Mets.
They win a wild card.
Yeah.
Anyway. So my playoff field, your National League West Division champion, Colorado Rockies, National League Central champion, Milwaukee Brewers, National League East champion, Washington Nationals, and the wild card game between the St. Louis Cardinals and the New York Mets, we'll say, at Citi Field.
So mine is the Nationals, the Cardinals, and the Rockies winning their divisions. And I think I'm gonna switch. I'm going to go with my wild card being the Dodgers and the Phillies.
Okay. That's good. That's good. We have variety here. Yeah. I like it. Yeah, man, I am not buying the Phillies. As long as Gabe Kapler's running that team, I am not buying that team.
What if I think they're going to win it because they'll fire him midseason?
Well, that could be.
All right. So, Ask PDP time? It's been
Yeah. Or should we do the American League?
Oh.
Do you want to do American League stuff? Should we do that?
Sure. We can do American League.
Let's just run real quick.
Yeah.
Astros obviously are winning the West.
Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine anybody else.
But I think the A's are going to win a wild card. The A's have pitching coming up, and they won 97 games somehow last year. The Central. God,
I mean, one and a half teams are trying.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess.
And it's not the Indians. The Indians aren't trying at all, and they're still the most talented team in that division.
Yeah, exactly, which is so
strange
to me. They're
not trying in the slightest, and they lost Francisco Lindor for the next 2 months today, so that's fun.
Yeah, I saw that. You know what? They got Aloy on the opening day roster. I'm going to pick the Chicago White Sox in that division.
That's insane.
They're not going to win the division at all. But, hey, nobody else in that division gives a
shit. Bold prediction.
No. Yeah. The Minnesota Twins are a really intriguing team.
Yes. They're actually trying. Good for them.
The Twins could make their best talent coming up is still a little ways away. God, man, that division.
Yeah.
Woof. I'm doing it. I'm going with the White
sure.
Sox.
Why not?
Why not? Nothing else makes sense. The Red Sox, obviously, and the Yankees for a division of wild card. Gross.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
Yeah. For me, I think Red Sox, Indians, and Astros are my division winners. I think the wild card is going to be the Yankees and the Twins.
Okay. Yeah. I like it. I like this variety we have here. I like it.
Yeah.
I don't know if we should pick like our playoff winners because I'm realizing that I talked myself into. You know, well, it's the Rockies going to win a division.
Ryan Spielborg picked the Rockies to win the World Series on the MLB Network radio predictions today, which is pretty cool. Yeah. Only one, but no, for obvious reasons.
But there were like, let's say, 15 people who made their picks for that segment. It was something like 12 or 13 had the Rockies at least in the postseason.
Yeah, yeah.
Either as division champs or as
that's good,
wild card
at least.
Winner. So,
yeah.
All right, let's go with some Ask PDPs.
Sure. We've answered some of these already, I will say.
We have. Yeah. We got some really good ones in, though. From our good buddy Jesse Spector, who kicks things off. Who are you most excited about seeing with the Rockies at some point this season who is not on the opening day roster?
I think Peter Lambert is that guy. The Rockies were one of the weird teams last year where they really only had five guys make starts all last year. It was the five guys that we thought were going to come in. The five guys are pretty much going to be there this year. So last year, it was Freeland, Marquez, Anderson, Gray, and Bettis made at least 20 starts. Gray, Anderson, Marquez, and Freeland made at least 30 starts, and Senzatella made the other 13. So I like those. Those guys are great, obviously. I think if anybody struggles, a Bettis or an Anderson, or even if John Gray, hopefully not. Peter Lambert showed that he's pretty much ready to be in the big leagues at some point this season. He no hit innings against the Rockies, like opening day lineup on Monday in Albuquerque, and whatever, that's, they weren't all trying for a while. Then Nolan and McMahon both took him deep, but he showed that he had the stuff to compete against top level talent. And he's, even though he has three children stacked on top of one another's shoulders, I think he's about ready to become a big leaguer.
Yeah. Okay. I'm good with that. I think,
The next wave of arms for the Rockies, what are the odds there? That never happens. There's so many arms. How can I juggle so many pitchers?
You can't draft and develop pitching. It's a scam. They need to trade everyone and only sign players from Venezuela. Actual take from the Denver Post, circa 2015. I gotta go with Brendan Rodgers.
Sure.
you know, if you're going to go Lambert, I'm going to go Rodgers. I don't know where he's going to fit in. I think that's the thing. But that's a great problem for the Rockies to have. Like, oh, you can't bring up your top prospect because you've already got a frontline shortstop in his natural position. Well, you know, figure out a spot for him.
Kids go, well, oh, you already have two second basemen who are ready to play and have proven themselves at the big league level or are about to. Oh, you have a third baseman who's signed for the next 1,000 years and is also the best player at his position. Oh, okay. Well, all right, Brendan, have fun. Like, it's kind of like all problem. It's all you don't want to become all, like the Ryan Sheely and Joe Koshansky pipeline, but
those are the days.
Those were the days. But no, I think, yeah, Rodgers will get his chance at some point.
Some point.
But the Rockies are set at his positions right now, as right. it were. Yeah. All right. From good buddy Matt Hansen, who loses the final vote, as a Rocky always seems to, who wins the batting title, and who mysteriously disappears in May?
Final vote will be Trevor Story.
Okay.
Batting title will be Daniel Murphy.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've already talked about that.
Unfortunately. and I'm going to say, mysteriously disappears in May. I feel like it's going to be a bullpen guy. It's either going to be a bullpen guy or Raimel Tapia.
I was going to say, I hope it's not, but I think it's going to be Tapia. Yeah. I hope not.
And the problem, I think, if it's a bullpen guy is it'll be injury. Like Mike Dunn last year was just like, he's got some shoulder tendonitis. He'll be back in a couple weeks, and then you never heard from him again.
Yeah, it might be Mike Dunn again. Things. Who knows? Yeah.
Yeah, it could be. Sadly, yeah, we'll probably go with Tapia just because we hate. By the way, Warren Miller, the Rockies PR director last year, sold me out in front of Bud Black. I was down there one day, and he was like, buddy, you know Tyler Mond? I was like, yeah, we met one time in spring training, actually a couple times in spring training, sure. The previous couple of years, and he was like, Tyler's got a really funny podcast Twitter account. They rag on you all the time, though. They think you should play Tapia more. And I was like, God, jeez, Warren, dude. Come on, man. it was fantastic.
Good Lord.
From Ben Jones at Ben Jones now. Ben asks, over under 450 at-bats for David Dahl this season, and that is not including a presuming health qualification.
Well, I mean, okay, if he's healthy, then yes. I mean, he's going to get more at-bats than that. He seems to be a linchpin for the team this year. Like, if he has a great season, I think they're going to be just fine. But if he struggles, they're going to have an issue replacing him. I think if, you know, even with Tapia there, with Hampson there, I think they really do need David Dahl to be that guy. I know that was a Kisla column recently. He said it in much, less nice takes than I did. But, like, I think Dahl needs to be good this year. And I think that's to be fair. I think over on the 450 at bats.
Yeah.
I mean, like, again, without a health being a factor, yeah, I think he's going to be over that.
Yeah, something has gone horribly wrong if he's healthy and not getting those
advantages. Yeah, that would be really, really bad news. That'd be like 2008 Brad Hopp bad news. Like,
yeah.
Where you're like, oh, Brad Hopp's going to be great. And then he just tanked and the whole season turned around. You're like, oh, wait, what's going on here? Yeah. All right, from at Matt Patston, if the Rockies make the wild card game again, who do you think we're most likely to start on the mound?
I think it's going to be Kyle Freeland again, because I think if you get to a spot where you know that that's a possibility, they'll try to line it up because he's already got that experience.
Okay. I'm going to say Marquez. Sexy answer, but okay. Herman.
Okay. Herman. This is actually a very good question, and I can only assume that it is from the president's disgraced lawyer, because it is from a man named Michael Cohen. This is a very good question. Yeah. What's your argument against the consensus stat head narrative of this? The Dodgers underplayed their Pythagorean win theorem record last year, which they would have had a projected 102 wins. The Rockies overplayed theirs, 85 wins. Lightning won't strike twice, therefore the Dodgers will easily win the division. How do you counter that?
I mean,
I think it's a lot of what we've discussed. I
mean, yeah, like
the Rockies are a better team coming into this year in the things that they were underselling themselves as last year. They're a better offensive team this year.
And projection systems,
runs scored versus runs allowed.
Yeah, projection systems always hate the Rockies pitching. They never believe that they can be better than league average, it seems like, when it comes to projection systems and the Rockies pitchers, even when they've had pitchers that have proven that they can be. I mean, guys like Germán Márquez, his stuff's going to play anywhere. John Gray's stuff can play everywhere. But it never seems to go that way when you see the B-Pro or fan graphs or whatever. It never goes that way. And so the Dodgers, you know, with the amount of talent they do, they have the ballpark to help the pitching staff. You know, they all they do is strike out and hit solo home runs, which is all they did last year. Like that, so that's going to play up better on projection systems than it would on anything else. But like, this is what I don't like about it. You can look and see, like, you look at both rosters. How are you saying the Dodgers by far are better than the Rockies? You cannot do that at all.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. I think if it's I like this question, but I think it presupposes the idea that the rosters are the same quality that they were last year. And I don't think the Rockies have gotten substantially better than where they were last year, but I think they've gotten better in areas that they needed to improve. And I think the Dodgers have gotten worse. I just don't – there is no argument that you can make to me that that is a better Dodgers team coming into 2019 than it was in 2018.
Right.
There isn't.
I don't know.
So there we have it.
Yeah. Yeah. This is from another Nick at 303 to NYC. You can sign any one player on the Rockies to an extension tomorrow. Who are you extending? That's a really good question.
What if we thought that his name was Nick – and 303 to NYC was like, oh, he moved from Denver to New York, but his name is actually spelled NYC, and it's no 303 to Nick.
It's Nick Youssef Clark.
Yeah, something like that. who would I sign to an extension? You know, I mean, I think Freeland's the obvious answer. I was texting about this with Nate Kreckman the other day. He was having a conversation on his show about all the extensions that have gone around baseball nowadays. And if you're the Rockies, do you do that with young pitchers? And Nate's argument was no, because when you look in franchise history, there have never been sustained stretches of success for pitchers beyond like 4 years. And I was like, yeah, but also when you look at franchise history, the Rockies have never had good pitchers. Like,
yeah,
they had Ubaldo, and that was about it. But like, when you look at everybody else, like Jeff Francis, Aaron Cook, Jorge De La Rosa, like those guys are not these guys.
No, they were just they were good relatively.
Yeah, yeah, and they were good in a very different era. I think the one that you would best sell to your fan base is Kyle Freeland,
sure,
because he's the local kid, etc. Yeah. If there was some way that the Rockies could nail down extensions with both Kyle Freeland and Germán Márquez, and you could like announce that as your tandem, that would be pretty cool.
Yeah, that'd be super. You know, your typical, like what you've seen for these kind of deals, like your for guys without that much experience, your 4 year, $30 million or something like that, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
Buy out the rest of arbitration years, get them for another season, but set them for life, you know?
Right.
Yeah, I agree. I'd do those two guys, the pitchers, because the Rockies have never had these kind of pitchers before. When they've paid pitchers, it hasn't worked. So seeing them getting signed would be really, really cool.
They could buy out our final arbitration years.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still on my rookie deal. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is the sixth season. Holy shit. Is this the sixth season of this podcast? Oh, my God. Yeah, so we're coming to the end of our rookie deal. So if they wanted to sign us to an extension.
You talk to Warren next time you see him.
Yeah, I'll see what he says. From our good buddy Ryan Freemeyer at R. Freemeyer, over under 0.5 losses for the Rockies this season, including playoffs.
I mean, under, obviously. We've said that from day one. Under, way
162-0, they'll win the division. And then, really, after that, it's easy. Then you only need 11 wins.
Yeah, I mean, after that, it's elemental.
So 173-0.
Yeah.
Good. Glad we all ever agreed on that. It was an easy one.
Doy. Yeah. let's see. From James Stewart at the Stuniversity. When has the platoon ever worked in any position as more than a stopgap? Has anybody ever really pulled it off? Dumb question. Listening to a 3-hour video of Chris Berman talking while eating nachos, or participate in a choreographed wedding party dance. That's like, what would you rather listen to a 3-hour video of Chris Berman talking while eating nachos, or participate in a choreographed wedding party dance? That's a good one.
I There is no one on earth who hates dancing, especially like dancing at weddings, more than me. There's also no one on earth who hates, especially when white people do synchronized dancing things. And yet I have to go with the dancing thing. I have to.
Like there's so like, and I will say he put it the ASMR, the audio sensory blah, whatever that thing is now, where like that Zoe Kravitz commercial for Michelob Ultra, where she just like whispers and like taps on stuff. And I want so many bad things to happen to her. And I know it's not her fault. She didn't write the commercial. I hate that commercial so much. It makes me so viscerally angry whenever it comes on.
Yeah, you do get really mad.
I really do.
You texted me about it.
I really do.
But anything with Berman, I can't.
No, it's fair. So anyway, the first part of that question, when has the platoon ever worked as more than a stopgap? And I think we see that it depends what you think is a stopgap. Is it, if it works for a year, is it a bad thing? Like, I don't, that's not the case at all. Like, a year as a stopgap with a platoon, that's what we've been clamoring for so long, because for so long, Ian Desmond hit lefties, couldn't hit righties. And then you have other guys who can come in and play, like Ryan McMahon, who can hit righties and not really lefties. Put those together, and that's one really good first baseman.
Yeah.
In theory. So yeah. If it works for a full year, that's what you're hoping for, isn't it?
Yeah. You would think so. I can't think of any like offhand examples of a platoon situation that just like no brainer that worked. It was great. So maybe it's never worked.
So thanks for your question. from Adam Busack at King Bus 5, one of the Rockies Twitter's favorite children. Over under 30,000 fans for the whole opening series at Miami.
You know, I watched Derek Jeter's lengthy interview with Harold Reynolds of MLB Network the other day, and what I have learned is Derek Jeter is just trying to make a better product for his fans. Very misunderstood, very needlessly maligned. Derek Jeter is just out here trying to make things better for you, the people, and there you are out there accusing him of not wanting to win.
When you come to Marlins Park,
how dare you?
You may not know the final score at the end of the game, but you know that you're going to have a really good time.
You know.
Also something else Derek Jeter said.
That there are fish swimming around behind home plate.
Like they're going to put 30,000 people in the seats probably. Like, or let's say 20 for the sake, let's say 25,000 for the sake of this on opening day, because everybody sells on opening day for the most part, except the Dodgers, because all their tickets are $100.
Yeah.
They'll get a good crowd opening day, because opening day always gets a good crowd. I think the drop off from opening day to Friday night is going to be about 20,000.
Yeah, that's the thing.
If not,
that is the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's gonna be frightening. I'll say over, but not by much.
Yeah, exactly.
Not by much, because they're gonna get the lion's share of that on Thursday tomorrow, and then virtually nothing after that. Let's see, from Andrea DeFreitas. I hope I pronounced your last name right. Andrea asks, what is your boldest prediction for this season, Rockies and Major League Baseball in general? The Baseball America bold, which is just like mayonnaise on sandwiches is good. Like you can't – I don't think
bold
they know
prediction.
Exactly what
the
bold
Red Sox
means.
Win the AL East. Okay.
Here are our bold predictions.
Jesus.
And their writers had picked the Dodgers, the Red Sox, the Yankees, and the Astros to win the World Series.
Man.
Nope. None of those. None of those qualify as bold.
Trevor Siemian thinks that's too spicy.
So anyway, boldest prediction. I already took the Chicago White Sox.
Yeah, that's a hell of a bold prediction.
There it is.
Oh, boy. Bold prediction this year for the Rockies. We saw Herman Marquez says he wants to win a Cy Young this year. What if he wins a Cy Young?
Okay.
That'd be pretty bold.
Okay. I like it.
For all of baseball? Oh, boy. What if the Dodgers miss the playoffs? How funny would that be?
Yeah. Man, can't we dream?
That'd be awesome.
I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility.
It's not, because the NL has a lot of really good teams in it. So
exactly. If the Rockies finish one game ahead of the Dodgers, there are a lot of other very good teams across divisions
right.
that could very well squeak into the wild card spot ahead of who the second place finisher is in this division.
Yeah, I agree.
So it's a possibility. Okay.
All right, like this is from Horlary Incar 88. PDP has not successfully explained to the country what they did with the money, President Buhari said. Oh, wait, that's the other PDP that we always get on.
Right,
sorry.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Sorry. No,
not, other last time, PDP. We're a free podcast. We did not steal any Nigerian money.
No, we did not. Yeah, sorry. sorry.
But
sorry,
if you know of any and you want to give us some, we'd take it.
Yeah, if you got some Nigerian gold lying around.
I'd take money from anyone.
Yeah. Yeah. From the Cooriginal at SFL.com, you guys think Bettis should be the number four? I saw him in spring training versus the Dodgers on March 10th. He was hitting 94. Keeps that up, and I think Anderson's leash gets very, very short. I will say, I don't think it really matters necessarily where he is in the rotation. I think Chad Bettis he's got a pretty good spot locked up because I think they want him to do well. I mean, I know it sounds really stupid because, of course, I want everybody to do well. But I think Chad Bettis is a special case. They want him to be that guy at the back of the rotation, the more veteran guy. He can guide the rest of the younger kids through some of the ups and downs of a season. He's got the great backstory. Guys seem to like him a lot. I think,
which is so funny because he's 29.
I know, but he's the old man.
It's like the old guy, Chad Bettis, on this roster. But it's true.
No, it is true. But so that's why I think. They want to keep him there as long as possible. And I think they've given him a lot of leashes over the years. Because there are some times he has not pitched well enough to be a major leaguer a lot of the time. He's had runs, of course. But I think he's there for a lot of different things. Not just the fact that he can throw a baseball pretty well.
I agree. From Guillermo at Inescapable Myth. Guillermo, by the way, has a fantastic avi of an old school Nuggets shot from I think it's Mark Jackson from McNichols. Anyway, how much stock do you put in the Padres competing this year? Most people only see the Machado signing and the Hosmer signing last year, but they have a ton of young talent on the opening day roster that's worth watching.
Sure.
Yeah,
I think we mentioned like the Padres offense is going to be decent, but again, they're going to be taken down by Petco Park the same way the Rockies are bumped up by Coors. The Padres have a lot of trouble getting hits and scoring runs at home because that park is really, really difficult to hit in. The marine layer is always there, or especially early in the season. The park plays a lot bigger than it actually is. You know, it's a tough place to hit, and Manny Machado is going to find that out firsthand. Eric Hosmer went there and had the worst season of his career, and he played most of his career in Kauffman Stadium, another terrible place to hit. So, yeah, there's a lot of talent on that offensive side for the Padres, and they're going to definitely get hit for like three cycles while they're at Coors Field at some point this year because they always seem to.
Oh, yeah.
Someone's definitely going to. But, no, I hate their pitching staff. I think it's awful. It's a terrible pitching staff. It's one of the worst rotations in all of baseball, and it's going to take a guy like Chris Paddock to really blow through it and become a household name right away, kind of unheralded, for them to do anything this year. Like, I would take the Rockies rotation in a heartbeat, and their bullpen is okay, but it's not great. Kirby Yates is a fine closer, but their bridge to him isn't awesome. You know, I don't like that at all. I really don't. So that's why I don't think the Padres are going to be more than 75 to 80 wins this year, I think, at best.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I don't trust anybody named Kirby.
Right? I even hate like him on Super Smash Brothers. He always kills me, and I'm never good with him when I play him with Super Smash Brothers.
A jerk. Wow. We're rolling through these. From at Fizzy Fish, will Dinger ever succumb to his base herbivore instincts and devour a tree on live television?
Yeah, sure. Why not? He absolutely could.
I think it's something that we should try.
Do you think he'll attack?
Suggest it.
He'll attack another like a T-Rex who's trying to come in on his, you know, his nest.
I kind of wish the Rockies would have gone like the minor league route and created like a whole family of mascots, but just all of them different dinosaurs. Like, you got Dinger, and then maybe you also got, like, Slugger, and he's like a T-Rex. And then you got like Curvy, and he's a Brontosaurus. And no, nobody else. Nobody.
Is this thing on?
On this?
Yeah.
Anyone? From at Tyler Q in Utah, which idiot senator from Utah is your favorite?
The one who thinks that you just need to screw instead of fixing the climate.
God, they really are very dumb. They really, those two out there really are very dumb. We came very close to having a president named Mitt.
Yeah,
I mean, not that close,
like a baseball Mitt, kicked,
but although it still would have been better than certain things.
Yeah.
And you'd think like, oh, well, his nickname's Mitt. He's got to have a normal name. His normal name is Willard.
Yeah.
His name is Willard Mitt Romney.
Mittard. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Man, that is, that, those are all the SPDPs.
How about that?
Amazing. I just want you to know that of all of the predictions for MLB Network Radio with the American League Central, nobody was as bold as me.
No, yeah, you're the only one for sure. Yeah,
White Sox, baby.
Yeah,
White Sox all the way. This is like when a few years ago we picked bold predictions for it would have been the 2015 season.
Yeah.
And my bold prediction, it was the year after Kyle Freeland's draft year, and I said my bold prediction is Kyle Freeland will be on the Rockies pitching staff before the end of the year. And we got dragged by two dudes who went on to work for BSN Denver, of course.
You got dragged. Yeah.
We got dragged for that by people who evidently thought bold prediction meant like, what's your most logical and safe prediction? And they just like ripped on us toward the end of the... Yeah, that's the point of bold predictions.
Yeah, and then now...
supposed to come
and
true.
That's, yeah, the two guys are running BSN Denver, right? Yeah, that's funny how that works.
It's very cool. The Rockies will open tomorrow against the Miami Marlins, and then coming up next week, they will return home to take on the Los Angeles Dodgers. They start this season so weird. They get the Marlins out of the gate, and then they play the Rays.
Yeah, they can
like,
get
those fires you up like the two, you know, worst road trips.
They can score, you know, 8 runs in their 4 games in Miami.
Yeah.
Then play Tampa and then come back to Coors for a Dodgers series, including a Sunday night baseball game on the 4-letter network.
So they're already going to lose that one. I know.
Yeah. So based on how the Rockies fare in these places all the time, we're looking at a 1-7 start. Is that how it is?
Yeah. It seems like it. And then the Braves come to town. So great. And then they go to San Francisco and San Diego. Yeah, this early season schedule is really not friendly. The Rockies start with 4 games in Miami. Then they get 3 in Tampa, a day off on Thursday the 4th, and then they will kick off a 6-game homestand against the Dodgers and the Braves on the 5th. Then they go to San Francisco and to San Diego. Off day on the 17th, and then home against the Phillies and Nationals.
Ooh.
Before going on the road to take on the Braves and Brewers.
It's a pretty tough start to the season.
Yikes. They don't really have like one of those home stands where you're like, all right, they should be able to go 7-2 here until the first week in May when they get the D-backs, Giants, and Padres in town.
Well, yeah, and even like then, like the Reds, like who were saying like, oh, it's the Reds, they're easy. They're going to be competitive this year,
yeah,
I think.
They're
going
to be decent this year.
Yeah. Like really, it's the Marlins who are going to suck. The Giants are going to suck. You know, like
interesting April.
The Pirates, like, they have pieces because they traded for Chris Archer last year. They have Chris Archer, Jameson Taillon, top of the rotation. Like, that's not terrible. But, you know, do I trust it? No. Like,
yeah, that's, man, April could be, April's going to be intriguing.
Hey, man,
they go through April like 25 and
again,
5, man.
This is the Rockies. They've made the playoffs the last 2 years, you know? They are the hunted.
Ah, what a weird thing to say. What a weird thing to say. But that is where we are.
Yes,
your, my, and our Colorado Rockies. Good at baseball.
How about that?
How about
it? This is a good one there, friend.
Yeah. This has been fun. We'll wrap this up, but we are back to weekly podcast episodes. So tune into your feeds.
Yeah, sorry, guys.
some point next week. I'm not sure what day. We usually end up settling like on a day of the week that works well.
Yeah, we got to figure out what day that's going to be. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what it'll be. But we'll figure it out. Yeah. And you can all deal with it.
Probably.
All right. Enjoy baseball.
It's baseball's back.
Yay. We'll talk to you next week. Love you. Bye.